And we will move on to our third case for this morning, Mayor against City of Chicago. Mr. Hernandez.
Please report. Counsel. My name is Rene Hernandez. I represent the plaintiff appellant, Jerome Maher. This case emanates out of a longstanding case before the Honorable Magistrate Cole, in which there was not one but two jury trials that were held on his behalf. As you, I'm sure you reviewed the statement of the facts of this case, you noticed that as part of this longstanding case, there was an initial summary judgment motion that was issued by Magistrate Cole regarding my client's claims of a demotion in 1991, and that was one of our appellate addresses that we brought here today, and that is the district court's granting of summary judgment on that issue.
Okay. Now, could I just, since time is short, want to just summarize quickly, because it seems to me you have the following hurdles to get over. Number one, the magistrate judge's conclusion, perhaps in the alternative, that Lashes barred the 1991 claim. For the 1993 claim, the magistrate judge finds that there's just no evidence of an adverse action. He was in a job. He had more pay. He had more responsibility. He supervised more people. The magistrate judge says you just don't have the evidence. And my big problem with your claims that went to trial is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks to me as though you never made a motion under Rule 50 for judgment as a matter of law. And under the Supreme Court's decision in Unitherm Food Systems against Swift Eckrich, a motion under Rule 50 is essential before this court can entertain the argument you're making.
I would agree. There was no Rule 50 motion brought before trial or during the trial.
And
pursuant to the rule, civil rule, I agree that that is the rule under Rule 50.
So you're done on those claims. I just don't see how you can get past the Supreme Court's decision here.
In a concept of Rule 59, a review of that particular rule, there is no waiver provision that I found in that particular rule. And in looking at the arguments raised by the city's council, which were, I thought, you know, excellent arguments.
But you didn't make a 59 motion either. And in I'm just going to read you the beginning of Unitherm. Of course, they're a little better off than you because they at least made a 50A motion before verdict. They didn't file a 50B motion, nor did they file a motion for a new trial under 59. And the Supreme Court says the Court of Appeals made a mistake. The Court of Appeals tried to reach out and grant relief, and the court overruled that. The court said that was not permissible. For the foregoing reasons, we hold that since respondent failed to renew its pre-verdict motion as specified in 50B, there was no basis for review of respondent's sufficiency of the evidence challenge, and the Court of Appeals reversed. And so how we may just be here talking about 91 and 93.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
If that's the court's position, so let's get to what we have. And so it's 1991, unfortunately, in this particular case, an attorney can only do so much when a client decides he wants to appeal at the 11th hour, literally. So be it.
So were you the trial counsel?
I was. And
did your client have input on the Rule 50 motion or the 59?
Did we reviewed the information, and all we can do is sometimes go for that narrow avenue of, I think the case law looked at the narrow exception as to the justice argument. But in this particular case, with addressing the 1991 demotion claim and the summary judgment, I think that that's, with that being left, or at least arguable before the court, what we can do is look at the summary judgment and the demotion claim. He states that once he went to the Persian Gulf, shortly after being hired, he comes back. He's immediately in a different type of mode. He's now no longer in the same type of supervisory capacity. And the evidence that he adduced at that time was a demonstration of his capacity of assistant commissioner. Now, there were disputed facts, and in this particular case, Judge Cole found essentially for the city's version, that this was an economic position that he was put into, or an argument that there was an economic issue, and it wasn't one that he was could bring under the sole theory argument.
But let me just back up. The magistrate judge finds, in his opinion, cites to some things in the record, that the day after he returns to work from his 1991 deployment to the Persian Gulf, he's reappointed as director of finance. I realize you have this issue about the title, but he's reappointed at a salary that's more than $6,000 higher than what he had before. So you're not contesting that much, are you?
No, Judge. And as the court has seen, that we've demonstrated through the O'Neill case, that pay alone is not the only factor to look at. You look at other factors, and I think you look at supervisory ability, the issue of utilizing his background, and if there's a change. Now, I believe that the law was set up so that you're not supposed to be put in a worse-off position when you go into the service on behalf of the country.
If you can just be very concise, what was worse about his position after he got back in 1991? Not pay. Pay is better. So what's worse?
Well, as my memory serves me, Mr. Maher had indicated not only his treatment from management, but also that there was a change in the amount of staff that he was actually supervising. There was a change, and that's how he agreed to take it. And also the change in his role within the facility has now been changed. So with that, you know, you look at his testimony, and since there was so much of it.
And then when 93 comes along and there's a reorganization, he gets another pay increase to $6,000. So that sort of change in title and the increase he got in 91, I mean, he continues on an upward trajectory for 93.
I will agree that he does continue to make money, and it's a cost of living allowances.
And he was in charge of more subordinates with that 93 promotion, right?
Right. And there were some good things that occurred during the course, and obviously he's making money accordingly, but it wasn't just him that was making that very money. Others were, you know, along the line, as the city policy provides, that this is what happens when you have time within the city, you get these allowances that keep going up.
And I forgot to mention one thing, and didn't he, after he raised the issue about 91, he eventually dropped that charge in 92?
The right? Department of Labor charge?
Yeah.
If you're referring to that, yes, he did drop that, but the testimony was that he dropped that with the hope that there would be an amicable resolution within his facility. That they would work things out. Obviously, that kind of goes to the latches concept. But and he was trying to be, or at least his assertion was, that he was trying to be good an employee and work within the team framework in the aviation department. So I agree that that's something that happened, as well as his routine reports of what had occurred to him to his supervisors.
But it
throughout.
Was after he dropped that complaint on the 91 situation that, which was December of 92, that there's a reorganization, and then he gets the promotion, and then he gets this, I think that's when the change of title comes up, manager of finance. So he wasn't penalized for bringing the charge or dropping the charge.
Well, that's obviously the city's position. My client has testified that he, in fact, was, in the manner in which the treatment he was treated, the harassment that was all part of it prior to 1994 under the original standard. So that, you know, it's the management view of him where he's going to go. Now, it wasn't I think the court, my memory serves me right, and I'm trying to remember all the transcripts that we've gone through, and that is Mr. Maher testified that this particular 1991 demotion dealt with his ability to perform the original job that he had, at least in the context as he presented himself as the assistant commissioner, which the management personnel recognized him as and presented him as throughout his subordinates and throughout the aviation department. So it's a significant shift when you lose that title. Now he's put into a different title, albeit he's still utilizing his professional background.
Okay. If you want to save any rebuttal time, you're just about out. So.
Thank you, Judge.
Sure. Ms. Masters.
Thank you. May it please the Court, I'll limit my remarks, obviously, to the 1991 and 1993 demotion claims. Mr. Maher's arguments regarding these claims are also not properly before this Court, and that is because with respect to the only argument he briefed was laches as to the 1991 demotion claim. There was an alternative holding, which was as to the 1991 demotion and the 1993 demotion, which he doesn't brief at all, that there was no evidence that the sole factor causing him to have whatever position he had was his military service. And it's important to note that those 1991 and 1993 claims are litigated under the Veterans Rights
Act. The VRRA.
Veterans Reemployment Rights Act. And the test there is whether the employment decision is based solely upon military service. There's nothing in the briefs addressing that, and we didn't hear anything here right now on that topic. So it's simply not before the Court. And the city, frankly, is just willing on that basis to rest on its briefs. So
I did have one question for you. The city, with respect to the later claims, which, as I say, I think there's a Unitherm problem anyway, doesn't seem to have argued that for the later statute, the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, the default statute of limitations of 4 years that appears in 28 U.S.C. Section 1658 applies. You never said that.
That is true, and because when we looked at the law on that, we didn't find anything that said the default statute did apply. We saw instead case law that said that it was just governed by laches.
But why? I mean, after the Jones against R.R. Donnelly case in the Supreme Court. Anyway, I mean, it's probably neither here nor there, but I was a little surprised that it wasn't even floated as an argument.
Well, we will certainly keep that in mind if it comes up again.
Yeah.
We didn't float it. We had one on laches.
Wouldn't apply to 91 and 93 right. Because that statute was passed long before 1990. But for statutes passed or rights recognized after 1990, which is the other situation, the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, then you have an argument under the 4-year default statute. You know, you couldn't have done a thing but laches and just regular summary judgment for 91 and 93.
Right. I would only, you know, the reason we didn't do it is we haven't seen that argument made, and the case law seemed to imply that USERRA had no time limit, sort of in the same way that the Morgan versus National Railroad case says for harassment claims under Title VII, there's no statute of limitations. But Your Honor raises certainly a point of law I'd be very interested in following up on.
Just to clarify, as far as the issue of the Rule 50 motion, you're saying, I guess they conceded that's out. So you're saying because of the alternative holding that was not appealed, that also...
Right. What we're saying is the 1993 demotion wasn't appealed at all because the 1993, the only claim raised on appeal regarding the 1991 and 1993 demotions was that the district court shouldn't have granted them as to laches, but laches was not a basis for the 1993 demotions.
And you're saying because of that other holding, that's...
Right, and then there's the alternative holding on the 1991 claim. There's laches, which we argue is absolutely correct. You can't wait until 2003 to bring a claim based on something in 1991. We had witnesses. There was a finding that their memories had failed, and obviously that it was prejudicial to the city because of that. People can't remember what happened back in 1991. There's been no clear challenge to that before this court, and it's our position that anyway that wouldn't matter because under the cases we cite, such as the Cawthor case, once there's an alternative holding, if that alternative holding is not challenged on appeal, then any challenge to that is waived and it stands. So it's not before the court. And the decision should stand. We would ask that the court affirm the whole judgment for those reasons. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Masters. Anything further, Mr. Hernandez? I think you have. We'll give him a minute.
It's an it seems disingenuous to argue that when latches it argued that somehow that you ever get to the next component. Latches is latches, and if you're barred, you're barred. The substance of evidence is not the consideration. And you asked me about the concept of the demotion. Basically, before he went to the Persian Gulf, Mr. Maher was second in command over the finance division of the aviation department. Upon his return, he now had split duties. Now his duties were split among others, which is a significant departure on his level of responsibilities. When looking at that, we ask the court to consider all these factors in making this decision.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Masters. The case will be taken under advisement.